Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call in the Fawn Context. We are working with transforming worry. And as we do that, moving into clarity. So I often think of worry as being related to the word confusion. And confusion, literally in Spanish, means something's fused together. The con means with, fusion means fusion. So something is literally just like stuck. And usually the remedy for that is a little bit of time, a little bit of space. So today, we may be offering some spaciousness throughout our session. We'll see how that flows into our work today. And just so you know, new background behind me, in case you're curious, this is the yoga studio slash gym that I have in the house. And my AC is on the fritz, so we're in the middle of a heat wave here. So we've been living in the basement. So for today, I'm not going to work upstairs. I'll be in my usual office. I'll be working downstairs where it's a bit cooler. And although I do have a second office, which I think you guys have also seen previously, that is next to the laundry room that I'm painting. And there's all sorts of fun fumes happening down there. So that's a very long story as to why you're seeing a bit of a different backdrop behind me today. And what else can I share with you? I had something else I was going to mention. Around the breath work that we did last week, I just wanted to say thank you again so much for having your cameras on. That made all the difference in the world for me to be able to see and to be able to work in a more informed manner. So thank you kindly for traversing that. And I got a couple of emails afterwards saying, I don't know if I'm doing it right. And the interesting thing is about breath is that there's technically no way to do it wrong. And this style of breath work is meant to offer you information. So it's about noticing where is the breath flowing, where is it not flowing, and that will always be the case every single time you sit down to do a breathwork session to begin to learn from it. So I'm going to invite us to be curious as we can. For those of us, I've had a few people that I know that are going back and re-listening and redoing the recording. So if that is you, I'm going to invite you to curiosity as you make your way and navigate your way through that type of work. And getting curious about where is my breath? Where is it not happening? And see if you can find just the very edge of it. And when that's happening, notice what the words are in the session. And that may actually begin to guide you in another type of a way through that sort of stuck edge energy. Okay. And if you ever want more with any of the work that we're doing, regardless of if it's breath work or these types of sessions, no, I'm always available to work privately one-on-one with folks, okay? Okay. And for those of you who are really working through some deeper core trauma patterns as we do this all, I do recommend, as I mentioned, I haven't said this for a while, so I'm just going to repeat what I've said earlier, that the thing about the deeper core traumas is they often need to heal in a more relational manner, meaning one-on-one work. And that can happen with any sort of in my opinion, somatic-based therapist, and finding someone who is equipped in training with a variety of somatic-based modalities, or also combined with things like breath work and polyvagal theory work, is a very sweet spot to land in to support yourselves as you're making your way through that territory. And that is all the other hats that I wear in the other part of my job that I don't often talk a lot about, but I am a somatic breath therapist in addition to doing all of the work that I do within this realm of energy work, which is why we're retouching on those edges in different ways through this lens. Okay, loves, I digress. I'm going to invite you to find that comfy, cozy place if you haven't already, and just make any wiggle woggles and shake shimmies, settling on in. As you find that comfy, cozy place, whether you're sitting or laying down, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. to make space and to allow. In every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant to neutral, taking time to really savor it, to appreciate it, to drink it in. Excuse me. My voice is a little scratchy between painting and drinking in those fumes, along with lots of work. Lots of talking lately. And as we settle in here, I'm going to invite you to purposely scan either outwardly or inwardly. Whichever direction you go is great today. And feel free to try something new if that feels right. If you have space for that today. And I'm going to invite you to scan. And as you scan either outwardly or inwardly, wherever you are is perfect. Letting the gaze land on anything in particular that feels, again, pleasant to maybe even just neutral. And as you land on that thing, whatever it is you found here, taking time to notice what it is you like the most about it, and then to drink that in, to drink that in. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for calling this in. And thank you to all that's gone into you being here in this way today. Thank you to all of those that have come before. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, and your lineages. Thank you to the very villages of support that have gathered around you to allow for this work to be here unfolding in this way as it is in this moment. And the very deepest of heartfelt thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands, that have nourished us, that have sustained us, to nourish and sustain all of those that have come before, and that will come to all of those who have yet to come. Thank you for tending to the earth in such rich, good, helpful, supportive, nourishing ways, so we may all benefit and exist and be alive. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And I think I mentioned this, but every other week I'm doing this right after yoga. So I've got my yoga clothes on, in case you were wondering. And as we get into things with this session today, now that I can let that piece of distraction go, now that I've told you why it is I'm wearing what I'm wearing, and I'm laughing at myself a little bit as I do so, we need to head into the area of the, not surprising, the stomach and the spleen, as they correlate to the element of earth, which works with the emotion of worry. The stomach and the spleen, they help to process a lot of our worry. The stomach more so the conscious, the spleen more so the subconscious worry. And we're actually looking at the space between that. So if we think of the space between the stomach and the spleen as also being a metaphor for that space between the conscious and the subconscious mind, the veil, so to speak, that's there, is a little thin, it's a little waffly. And the energy of it is not just thin and waffly, but it's also got some holes in it, so it looks like leaky. And when that happens, it means that there isn't clear division between the two, and that happens to usually reflect in the arenas of having excessive subconscious information pop up into your conscious awareness in ways that just don't make sense. In ways that might be confusing, in ways that might create unnecessary worry and anxiety. Okay. And that's also true for when the conscious mind is now more present to the subconscious mind than it actually really needs to be. So that veil is meant to be there on purpose in a good way. We're actually going to bring in the energy of Ganesha. Ganesha is both the placer as well as the remover of obstacles. And we're going to use that wisdom of his to fine-tune what obstacles actually need to be here on purpose to help strengthen this division between the conscious and the subconscious. And we're removing anything that's actually creating the leakiness, the holes that's creating this sort of like waffly thinness in that veil that divides the two parts of our mind. And that in turn is linking into the 12th house of the liver meridian, and we're linking it right into that liver meridian, which processes anger, frustration, irritation. And it's specifically working with the energy of other people telling you what it is you should be doing, how it is you should be living your life, along with driving any particular points of criticism or attacking type of energy to the point where it actually creates anxiety or confusion within you. So other people making, in theory, perceiving anyways, this as the a sense of creating secondary doubts to the point where you begin to doubt yourself to the point of even insecurity. So it's insecurity derived from the confusion from other people's input is a cleaner way perhaps to sum that all up. And it's like your own sense of self and your own expression, your own voice, your own awareness around how it is you know your truth to be and how it is you wish to express it got dampened by that throughout the, again, that liver area. And the liver and the spleen, they tend to balance one another out in a way that isn't really related in any Chinese medicine concept that I'm aware of. But they both, when they're in balance, seem to support the immune system. And they both seem to support, in turn, then rejection where it's needed and acceptance where it's warranted and needed as well. Okay. And that might even being able to accept the rejection in a good way and allowing it to be there just as it is, because at times we actually need to experience rejection, whether we're on the receiving or the providing end of it. It may have a healthy role to play for us at times. Okay, now as we work with that on, within that all, as we balance that stuff in the liver, we're actually going to run a cellular repair, restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're bringing in circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, our low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system and our immune system, and for that matter, most of our body mind to heal well. And then also balancing yin and yang, feminine and masculine energies, or nourishment and protection is how we can also think of that. And then also working with hydration, bringing in the water all the way through that circulates joy and releases any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. Excuse me. Okay. All the painting fumes. Okay, now, as we work within that, it's as if the tension around the entire liver and the entire liver meridian, which traverses all the way through the inside of the foot to the head brain, the very top, the crown of the head. And as it goes, it protects around the genitals and the chest alike. So it's got huge energy centers there. And it's as if all the fascia, all the connective tissue that surrounds those areas begins to slowly unwind in a way that lets the right side drop down into the earth and ground, allowing for the spleen meridian that travels through that inside of the leg in roughly that same place where the liver does. And the spleen is meant to help to ground us. It's meant to also, as a ground, be able to bring energy up. So as the liver meridian drops down, the spleen energy can rise in a good way. So as we ground, elevation can happen. I'm seeing that play out all the way through, in particular, the right side, the masculine, the yang energy side. And as that drops down, and as that energy begins to rise, there's an opening through the throats. And I just hear the words, interesting. It's safe to sing the song of my people again. It's safe to sing the song of my people again. And I take that to also mean that it's safe to step into your authenticity of your roots of where you've come from. We often carry this tension that we are so used to, we don't even know it's there, but that we're afraid to express the sense of our cultural heritage, our ancestral roots, in all the ways that it does, through our uniqueness, through how it is we use our words, through how it is we phrase things, through how we see our world, how we take in our experiences in life, to the food that we eat, to the different cultural heritage patterns that influence our physical, our mental, our emotional well-being, along with our spiritual and our relational well-being and everything else. And as we step into this awareness of how that impacts us, working with this expression, I don't have to limit myself here. I don't have to limit myself here. As a permission statement to help that to settle and to step into the energy of embracing the fullness of where it is you've come from. As you do that, I see the root chakra, the base chakra, as we refer to in Bodhisattva, begin to pulsate, to vibrate, to also ground, to drop down into the earth. And there's this essence of, as I accept my roots, as I accept my past, as I accept my history, I can begin to I can begin to rise. I can begin to stand tall within that. Maybe I begin to not just rise, but maybe I begin to soar. What if all that ancestral wisdom that's locked into your specific roots of where you've come from is waiting for you to be tapped into? And that begins now to flow in a way that it hasn't been accessible before. As it flows, the energy of being able to root into the earth even more strongly, and the energy of being able to elevate and rise from that begins to extend through the spine, allowing all, in particular, all the way through that right side. I just see little hook after little hook after little hook, releasing all the way through the vertebrae, around where the dorsal nerve root is, and that's basically near the back of the vertebrae for ease. And as we work within this area and all of these little hooks unpopping, it's almost like little teeny tiny staples coming out one by one by one. It's releasing all this different energy all the way through, not just the nervous system, but also through the muscular system. Okay, and it's working within that, the kidney and the liver meridians alike here. I think of the kidney as going right to the core of things, going right into the very core of you, the core of your ancestors, the core of their roots. And the liver as helping us to release any old things that just don't need to be here anymore. As this is releasing not just for you, but it's actually releasing through your entire ancestral line, in particular on your dad's side. Okay, and it's around the fear of not being able to make it, like the fear of not being able to financially make it, to have the materialistic needs that you need to be met in order to stay alive, to survive, in a way that allows you to be held comfortably, not just surviving, but held comfortably so that you can survive in the work that you want to do, in the family that you want to raise, in the community that you wish to serve, and having your needs be met in a good way to allow for all that to happen and unfold without the strain of having to constantly be worried about how to make ends meet. It's that financial strain as that releases through this side and the pattern of that through dad's side of the family. It's going back, ways. It's going back 14 generations. 14 generations all the way through. And as that happens, there's this tension around the left eye, around the different muscles, and there's many of them. They're tiny, but there's many of them that dictate how it is we can look up, down, all around in all the different directions that we are able to see in all 3Ds, in all three dimensions. And that tension around the eye muscles is holding on primarily to fear. And it's around the fear of not being able to see how it is those financial needs might get met and how it is survival is going to unfold. And there's this tension around, if I can't see it, how can I trust that it will happen? And this is relating to the sense of insecurity and doubt now from a different angle. And this is actually held more in the feminine lines. And this is also going back a fair ways, 8 generations through mom's side of the family lines. If I can't see it, how can I trust that it will unfold and happen? What is actually beautiful ancestral wisdom, and also carries within it the essence of not necessarily hoping for the best and relying on that to unfold. And the way that I often see that play out for people in lives, in their lives, is in relationships where we look and we date potential, for instance, or we see someone and we go, oh, they would be good at that. They're not doing it yet, but they could be, and I could help them get there. And as we look at that particular pattern of people pleasing, this piece of wisdom, if I don't see it, how can I trust it, is actually going to help navigate that. So this tension is actually here in a good way. It's actually unfolding in the way that it's actually meant to do. Now that that wisdom is there, we don't actually need to have the tension there now that it's in your awareness. So we can actually bring in circulation of all those same healing resources to the muscles that don't have to work so hard for that piece of awareness to be there now that we've addressed the underlying issue that's been holding this in place. And to support that even further, we're going to run a seedry on that particular people-pleasing pattern of dating potential or trusting that things can happen for somebody that you're relying on. As long as you're there to support them, then they in turn will develop into what it is you think they can develop into and then provide for you. And we might call that people pleasing. We might also, in a very honest, blunt, direct way, call that manipulation. And as we run this seedry, it's going to continue for the next 4 days. Seedry starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources that I mentioned earlier. And then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking. Opening up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. And as we do that, integration, introspection, shifting the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Then we're going to simultaneously unhook a bundle of belief systems And it's hanging out in the diaphragm. The regular breathing diaphragm. And it's related to that emotion of worry. To the point of anxiety. And it's anchoring all the way through the lumbar spine as well, roughly where that ligament of the diaphragm anchors into the low back. And it's related to the theme of anger. Okay, and it's working with this idea that I won't express my own needs. And I will do that in order to look like I'm not needy and hopefully have you relate to me in a way that I want you to. But then, because I haven't actually stated my needs and I've been busy suppressing them all, I'm going to get really angry. And I might be outwardly angry, I might be inwardly angry, that might lead to depression, as it often does. And there's this sense of, then I'll blame you for being the cause of all of that. Which is again a form of manipulation and, well, quite frankly, projection. So that particular pattern is one that we're also going to be addressing with another Sidri. Oh my goodness, okay. That's going to continue for the next 8 days. That's going to go into our next week where we work with sadness, which probably makes a lot of sense given the anger-sadness piece. And our anger depression piece that I mentioned just a moment ago. And as it continues for the next 8 days, simultaneously unhooking in parallel here another belief system around the theme of things aren't adding up, things don't make sense. And all the underlying confusion that goes with that type of pattern of, it's almost like a internal gaslighting. I'm going to suppress my needs so you will like me because I won't be needy. But then I'm going to get really angry at you for not meeting my needs that I haven't expressed to you. And then we drive ourselves crazy, insane, neurotically nuts, and all the other words that we could throw out here as synonyms. Because we are playing that internal game of, you should be able to read my mind. How come you're not reading my mind? At the same time, you might be experiencing the other person as feeling like they expect you to read your mind. And they haven't been clearly communicating to you because they haven't been appreciating you or meeting your needs or whatever the need may be other than appreciation. So as we look at that pattern and that Sidri unfolds with it for the next 8 days, we're going to also run hydration through to the very heart brain, to all the nerves that innervate the regions of the heart. And this is going into fetal life. It's going into day 23. Okay, so embryology is, well, not perfect anymore, but around day 23 is roughly when the primitive heart is forming. Day 15 is when we've got sort of the essence of it, the seed of it. And around day 23 or so is when we begin to see like the four distinct chambers. And there's like the walls that begin to form that will like divide the different compartments and form like the valves. Okay. So working with the, at day 23, the genesis, the creation of the hearts in its more rudimentary form, before it's fully come alive in the way that it is within you today. And as we release that energy from those very seeds of what came to be your heart and your heart brain alike, we're also going to run circulation of lymph, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking and overanalyzing from the heart brain when it was developing at day 23 in fetal life. Okay, there's something in here around also the theme of blame. Whether it's around blaming yourself, blaming other people, there was something happening with mom and dad where they were caught in a game of blame. And we need to simultaneously release that pattern around blame. And it looks like it was also related to the theme of, this is rich territory, of neglect, a theme of the expectation of you won't be there for me. And this feeling of being unsupported by others. As we do that, doing also an emotional release of sadness from the external lining of the heart, the pericardium. And that in turn is linking into the 12th house, house of endings, releasing, surrendering, and individuation, the house of peeling back who it is you are not, so you can more deeply touch in on the truth of who you are. And then we're connecting that into house 5, which also works with individuation and the heart. It also is the house of the inner child. It's the house of play, of pleasure, of joy, of lightness, of ease, of social activity. Okay, and here we're releasing a pattern of social anxiety from the heart brain. Any times you may not feel quite as comfortable as you'd like to be expressing yourself in a social setting, or just simply being in a social setting, or potentially even initiating a social setting, or inviting in a new friendship, anything in social life. And again, there's this fear here of being criticized or attacked underlying that. And that's also coming out of the area of the spine just behind it, along the heart brain, as well as from the diaphragm. And as we do that in parallel, we're also releasing a fear of being yourself. And that's running all the way down, in particular, that right side of the spine. And there's this fear of being judged as less than, lacking, all the way to the point of being potentially judged as not being all there, like not being mentally as sharp as you'd like to be, or potentially even being judged as dumb or stupid or retarded or something along those lines. There's this sense of insecurity around how your intelligence may be perceived by others. And from here, we're also releasing a past life energy. Keeping in mind that we don't think of past lives and body talk as most do. We don't think that you yourself have lived before or that you would go on to live again. Rather that when anyone dies, there's a release of all their unresolved energies into a giant pool, the Mahat. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. And this particular droplet actually is ancestral. It's through Dad's side of the family. It's 9 generations back. And it's on the emotional frequency, not surprisingly, worry. But this is quite extreme. It's actually to the point of like despair and hopelessness and not being able to see a way out. And feeling very cloudy. Okay. As we work with that, linking it into the house of death, rebirth, regeneration, house number 8. House also of sometimes perceived as the house of hard knocks. And there's this expectation that life has to be painful, that life has to carry with it anxiety-inducing circumstances at all times or else. And that's become a sense of comfort or familiarity that might feel painful to be without, might feel even naked to be without. And we can imagine, just imagine sending anxiety down, like you might take off a really heavy coat your winter coat or a fur coat, or I've never actually worn a fur coat, but that's kind of what this seems to look like or feel like. But it's got like a real thickness, a real heaviness to it. It's like one of those big coats that goes from shoulders down to feet. And we can imagine taking off that like cloak of anxiety. We're gonna unbutton it from the hyoid bone, which is that floating bone in the neck, as well as from the cartilage around the Adam's apple. And with it, releasing this belief system of you don't belong here, that's been cloaking this, holding on to this cloak, I should say, of anxiety. And as we release that through the throats, I invite you to make just a little sound in any way that feels right. And we're going to tap this part out here. So, invitation to breathe, staying with that sound for another breath or two if you have space for that. And if you can't make that sound outwardly, I invite you to imagine yourself making that sound. Breathing here as we begin to release this cloak. And as we tap it out, there's another little sticky bit on the front of the left shoulder, the AC joint, the acromioclavicular joints. And from here, we're doing a release of worry. It's from age 5. And it's around the transition of going back to school, which is roughly what we're in right now, that back to school season for many of us. It may have already begun, depending upon where you live in the world. And as we release that, there's this fear that goes all the way through the upper shoulder, across the left and the right, back, upper shoulder region. Around a fear of what if they don't like me? What if they don't accept me? There's this anticipation of rejection. And then through the back of the right shoulder, as well as through the AC joint in the front of the right shoulder, there's this energy of jadedness, that expectation of being rejected to the point of already being angry preventatively. Like, screw them if they don't like me, type of thing. And that's a learned pattern through dad's side of the family lines. Going back 12 generations. And it's carrying with it this idea of as long as I can show how angry I am, then I will show how powerful I am, and then I'll be liked and accepted by others. Now, as that releases through here, also coming off of the heart meridian. On that right side, all the way down through the pinky finger. And that coat begins to slip off. And we're going to set that down into the earth. And we're going to invite all the ancestral energies through mom and dad's side alike to gather round as they witness that this burden now gets to be released. And as we set that down into the earth, it becomes an offering, becomes a blessing, it becomes fertilizer. And those seeds that begin to be nourished by that begin to grow. And begin to actually carry in. I see the seedlings becoming almost like a vine. And they're going to come in reverse form all the way through the right heart meridian, through to the right shoulder, front and back, across the tops of the shoulders, upper back, all the way through to the front of the left shoulder, all the way through into the neck. And with it, they are bringing in new life, new possibilities. And with that expansion, the energy of growth, the energy of not just the growth that happens at the beginning of spring, but all the way through into like the height of summer itself. And as that continues, the question becomes is what is it to stand tall within yourself? What is it to stand tall in yourself, regardless of whatever any other voices around you are offering, saying, around, however anyone else might be perceiving you? What is it to stand tall in yourself, allowing yourself the gift of self-acceptance and being able to offer rejection or boundaries to the voices around you that say anything other than how you're not supposed to stand tall within yourself? That may be voices of dissent around that. That's linking into your entire spine from tailbone all the way through to the very sphenoid bone. So all the way through to not just the end of the spine, but through the various different bony connections, all the way through to the master bone, that sphenoid bone. And as we work with this connection between sphenoid and tailbone, coccyx, an Advaita Vedantam is thought to connect heaven to earth. What is it to be able to rise through earth into the very heavens? What if you don't actually have to wait for that to happen? What if you get to have it right here, right now? What if that's a possibility that's here for you in any given moment? And as that begins to rise from tailbone to sphenoid, the words here are, I'm allowed to fly. I'm allowed to have these wings. And it's allowed to feel good. I'm allowed to fly. I'm allowed to have these wings. And it's allowed to feel good. I see a whole lot of connective tissue unwinding now through where the collarbones meet onto the sternum. The SC joint, as it's often called. And through there, releasing this old, familiar, potentially pattern around shut down is safe. It's safer just to shut things down, not bother taking the risk, not bother saying that thing, taking that step forward, doing that next thing. It's safer to play it safe. It's safer to not do anything. Because then I won't run the risk of rejection, then I won't run the risk of overwhelm, and then I won't run the risk of anxiety and confusion happening. But in doing so, it creates not just a shutdown, but a collapse of energy, a freeze point. And it perpetuates this belief system in particular of, I'm not good enough and no one will like me because of that. I'm not good enough and no one will like me because of that. Okay, so here, releasing with it the underlying pattern of, I have to compromise my expression of myself in order to be liked and accepted. Offering your very breath right into this area where, again, that sternum joins onto your clavicles, your collarbones. And in that area, we're also meant to receive guidance. And that's true not just of that one point, but all the way down the entire area, just on the other side of the sternum, if you can imagine those lines going right down the entire length of the body and rising all the way up. There's this line of energy that's meant to carry with it guidance around your essence. That little voice that we hear that's not just offering intuition, but it's offering really depths of knowing to the point where we might refer to it as insights. And that inner guidance, connecting all five senses into it. So you can literally hear it, see it, smell it, taste it, feel it. And as we deepen into that sensual awareness of guidance, connecting it through to the very midline of the body now, which carries with it the energy of trust. What if it was safe to trust your inner guidance? And that leads us right back to where we began, that area between the stomach and the spleen. Hey. That space between the energy that I saw before was like a net with really big holes in it. And now all the holes that are there are actually creating almost like, you know how plants grow up a trellis and they go through the holes and they fill in the holes to the point where you can't even see the net that it grew up through? It's actually providing now structures for growth. And as we release the confusion energy, there becomes space for clarity. It's clear to see my way forward. It's clear to be able to trust my guidance. It's clear to be able to fill in the blank. And as we work with this essence of clarity here, linking it all the way through to the very skull bones, which also represent clarity. I actually see as a satellite, as a resource, a particular style of a breathing pattern in yoga referred to as skull shining breath, Kapalabhati breath. And it works with very forceful exhalations, primarily through the nose. And it's done by means of forcefully allowing for that diaphragm on your inhales. Pardon me, have to do it. Exhales, I don't teach Kapalabhati breathing, but I might in a moment here. And the diaphragm on every forceful exhale begins to rise up and it begins to massage the very top of the regions, pardon me, the very bottom of the regions of the heart and the lungs. And then on the inhales, it actually pops down to massage the organs of digestion. We can think of that breath as literally kind of balancing the diaphragm by means of forcefully exhaling and drawing the diaphragm upwards to massage the bottom of the heart. And then on the inhales become passive, which is primarily the, well, opposite way of how we normally breathe and our conscious connected breath practices. The inhales become passive in a way that allows for the organs of digestion to receive a different type of diaphragmatic tension, which allows for them to be massaged and to release any holdings that they have been routinely, habitually hanging on to. So it might look something like this, and keep in mind I'm no expert on Kapalabhati breathing. I believe it's usually cued by having a nice strong inhale, fully exhaling. And then we're going to forcefully inhale through the nose. Pardon me, forcefully exhaling through the nose. In a way that lets our diaphragm muscle, not sure if you can see that very well through my sweatshirt, like so. And then after you've done maybe 30 of those, allowing the exhale and holding the breath for slightly longer than usual as you experience what it's like to have your lungs completely empty. And then when you're ready, drawing a nice relaxed inhale in. There's lots of videos on Kapalabhati breathing out there, or skull shining breath might be an easier way to type that out to Google it. Skull shining breath or Kapalabhati breathing. And I invite you to play with that as much or as little as you feel called to in the coming days. Think of it as optional homework to explore yourself with and in. And as you work with this, again, that space between the stomach and the spleen now. And the clarity that's here and it's linking into the skull. As we work with that breath practice, it continues to the energy of what I see it drawing in, for those of you feeling called to play with it more, is those vines that I mentioned that were growing that space between the stomach and the spleen. They begin to rise all the way through to the skull. And they are riding on the very back of the breath. We're going to run switching technique along with SB here, switching helping to cope or deal with stress. And SB technique, sphenobasilar works with an area where our sphenoid bone commonly gets jammed up. And we're going to release that tension here to allow for full circulation of energy through the brain. It's one of the first techniques we often teach new practitioners in body talk. And it carries such a powerful essence to it because of that, because there's so many people in the world trained in it and doing it and offering it. And it's sometimes overlooked or forgotten about. It's just like, oh yeah, that little SV technique that I learned about years ago for the body talkers in the crowd. And yet it carries with it this capacity to open up such rich territory in the brain of just clarity, such ease, such flow, releasing fogginess, tension, increasing circulation of hormones, of blood flow, of nerve flow, amongst many other benefits that it carries with it. It helps to heal digestion, helps to heal all of our hormonal issues. And with that, we're linking it right back to now the liver, where we worked a little bit earlier today. And the liver is often associated with hormonal flow, or the lack thereof, if it's a little bit stagnant. And for the liver, we're actually going to run another cellular repair, this time on an emotional frequency of worry. Worry is not wonderful to have in the liver. It's not as easily digested as anger might be. The spleen is what's meant to digest worry, not the liver. And as we release worry through here, and we run a cellular repair on those areas of worry through the liver. I actually see again this energy of the feet dropping down into the earth below through the liver points that run through the inside of the foot. And it's almost as if they were wrapped around the kidney meridian, which is what was creating the tension and not allowing the feet to drop in. The liver and the kidney tend to be buddy-buddy. They tend to have the same sort of issues going on. When one is compromised, the other will be as well, from a Chinese medicine perspective. And honestly, it's not spoken about in Western medicine, but if you look at people near their end of life, they often have end of life organ failure, where one goes and the other follows very quickly with it. So we can see it through that lens as well, through Western medicine too. Okay, with this now, we're running circulation of consciousness. And it's working with the consciousness of the regular breathing diaphragm. And the particular piece that it wants to work with is that of integration. Okay, so if you can imagine that earlier breath, that skull-shining breath, Kapalabhati breathing, offering integration through now the head brain, as well as through the gut brain. It's actually connecting these two centers of head brain and gut brain. Now it's linking to the 10th house, particularly, it's actually working with the meridian that hangs out here, the triple heater, which works with synchronicity, with integration, no surprise, and with endocrines, with hormonal flow here, along with the planetary energy of Saturn, which often carries with it responsibility, realistic expectations, organization, wisdom, but also struggle. And often a feeling of being overly structured or overly confined in ways that our paternal or dad's side of our family was as well. Saturn can be known to be a bit of a taskmaster. And in this way, it's actually a good thing. It's bringing in the energy of staying on track within the flow of hormones, in the balance of hormones, and within the flow of clarity. What if the hormones got to flow in a way that actually promoted clarity? What if it didn't have to be an upward battle? Sometimes when our hormones shift, so too does our nervous system, which can often lead to dysregulation. And think of this as doing the opposite now, noticing when the hormones are in balance, That it also gets to support the balance of the nervous system in a regulated way, so that way these two can creatively support one another. And I see that linking into the same sort of energy between the kidney and the liver, offering an upward spiral of connection, of energy, of flow, of supports. Okay, beautiful. And then we're going to tap this all out here. So, invitation to breathe and receive. Okay, loves. Give that all another round of breath. Letting that part really integrate here. And I invite you to touch into that resource that you found earlier, if that feels right for you. I've got a song here. It's about 5 minutes long. It's by Ganavea. It's from the album called Forgive Me My, and the name of the song is also Forgive Me My. So I invite you to breathe and receive here, letting yourself continue to integrate as you hear the music.
Oh.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you to being here in all the ways that you are. Thank you for the gift of all of you. It's a joy to get to be here in these ways with you. Sending you blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Bye for now, my loves. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, your evening, your afternoon. Bye for now. Much gratitude.